searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am good. This is the new and improved podcast post-vacation, now with Nook. We are doing great over here.
Yeah, unfortunately, our apartment looks like a shithole. So here we are.
Yep, a stinkhole.
Oh my God, Sarah, I just got back and you decided to paint the place freaking yellow. Like, yeah. not a pale yellow, but a full-on mustard yellow. Like yellow mustard, not like your...
Yeah, you know. Well, specifically, Corey said it is the yellow that they use on streets.
Yeah, the stripes. Yeah.
The stripes.
It's
yeah.
Terrible. Absolutely yeah. Terrible.
I liked Corey's song. It was like, yellow is my favorite color. It makes me like wiggle like jello. I don't think that those were the words, but fair enough. I think our guest, I don't know if our guest loves yellow, but.
Well, we'll find out. Returning guest, first ever time talking about Boy Meets World with us, but. Was with us on the Harriet the Spy, another a yellow jacket. It all connects. Wow. Stuart, how are you?
I'm so excited to be here. I've like been listening to this podcast for like too long and just like eagerly kind of going, oh, I kind of wish they had invited me on. I really kind of want to talk about the Women's World. And it's like, I've been watching it since I was really young. And now I'm finally here. And I'm just as excited as Corey is coming from Cork World, because apparently Cork that's World. A place.
I can't wait to talk about Cork World. I truly think like these episodes together, Picket Fences and What a Drag, episodes 10 and 11 of the final season, are such an interesting pairing, because one is much more serious, much more of the Boy Meets World of old, where there's like a moral to the story, like, but it's an older moral to the story, because now Topanga and Corey are married and they're dealing with that type of stuff in their housing situation. And then we have What a Drag, which... I mean, Stuart, it kind of fit. You love Drag Race. So like that kind of works.
I mean, I kind of went when we talked about kind of which ones I could jump on for. I saw that and was immediately jumped out of it. And then I kind of went, oh, but the level of drag is very different.
Very not different. Like RuPaul's Drag Race at all.
You got tricked.
Although I will say, I do truly think Eric would love to be on Drag Race.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely, like, I was thinking back about the amount of times that we've actually seen Eric in drag throughout this entire, like, show. Mm-hmm. And he lives for it. Walks in heels without any issues. Like, sort of embraces it like you should.
The accent, yeah. Like, everything. Yeah. Yeah. Very much like, Sarah, a bit of it feels like we've been here, done that with the episode where Sean is in drag. And he has a very similar... reaction to Eric, where like as soon as he gets his ensemble, he is like, he is his character, you know?
Right. Yeah. So Corey in that episode was kind of the diner maid. I don't know.
Yes.
A waitress, rather.
He was a waitress and he waitress. Was like, yeah.
And really got into
tuts. Didn't he do the tuts thing?
Yeah, exactly. Really got into character, and then was jealous of Sean at the time for being like the pretty girl. I mean, we'll get into it, but to be honest, we're going to think that Eric was the pretty girl.
Yeah, I don't see how they were like calling Jack the pretty one. I thought Eric was much more believably feminine.
Well, I'll tell you why. because it was the 90s and they stand skinny people. That's what it was.
Yeah. But I think, like, when you have curves, girl, like, you're going to be able, you don't need as much hip padding.
Not in the 90s. Not in the 90s.
It's all about the confidence. Eric was absolutely feeling his oats, whereas Jack was there, like, timid as anything. And, like, what's more attractive? Someone sitting there kind of shaking, going, oh, I don't know what to do. Or someone that just embraces themselves. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, that's 100% true. So before we hop into these two episodes, Stuart, tell us a little bit about your Boy Meets World history. You obviously, based on your accent, you do not live in the United States. So how were you watching Boy Meets World? Did you watch it like as it aired, or was it on reruns there?
So I was trying to think back about where I used to watch it, because I remember watching it as it was coming out. Like, I remember new seasons kind of getting announced and being advertised. But I don't know what channel they were on. So I know for you guys, it was on Disney. Is that right?
It was on Disney, but it was also like ABC Family was the main place I watched it.
See, I don't think.
No, I think it was. Oh, yeah. But then like before that, it was just on ABC.
ABC was where it originally aired. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because we didn't have the American channels. We only had kind of like whatever came over on cable. So we had like Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon was my jam back in the day, hence Harriet the Spy. But then. Obviously, this being like a different kind of property, I didn't know really where it was. And I'm not too sure whether it was just the fact that the UK kind of, Nick maybe kind of took everything and just put it on there. But yeah, I remember watching it kind of episode by episode. And like, I was in from season one. I kind of grew up with this show. Mm-hmm. And it was, well, formative to say a few things. But yeah.
Would you consider yourself more of a Corey or more of a Sean?
Oh, that's a really tough one. I think Corey back in the day, but Sean on reflection. Because like watching it back and you kind of realize that Corey is just the worst, especially in like the later seasons.
I love Corey in these two episodes. I mean, he's kind of a brat with his parents, but like very funny, in my opinion.
Yeah, very funny. And it's kind of, it's just the same thing. It's kind of like he has the same trajectory that I think Eric's had over the last couple of seasons, where he becomes the comic relief. And he's like slowly getting more and more absurd, whereas the real heart of the show kind of really stays with Sean, I think, for the most part. But yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I like asking people that. I think it's fun because I do think, like you said, like the characters do evolve to where like Corey is always just looking for to get people to laugh, especially in the later seasons. And Sean used to do that a lot more, but more recently he like almost solely has serious storylines unless he's with Corey, in which case he's like tagging along on those silly storylines. But yeah, let's hop in. We start off with Picket Fences, where we start off with Sean and Topanga, and they're in the apartment. They have the place to themselves. They've like turned the island around to make it this like really long dining room table. It reminds me, Sarah, of like rich people when they have these massive tables and they sit at either end and you like can't even touch hands.
Right. And there's 20 courses in between them with giant tall candlesticks, of course. I thought that was very smart of them. I like how that they're making it their own. And they're playing house a little bit and they're saying, oh, you know, like such a long day. Yada, yada, yada. Something about the kids. And they're like, life is simpler with the kids. Turns out the kids is Corey and Topanga, who refuse to sleep in their stinkhole apartment.
Yeah, and I do love the like physical comedy, the visual bit of them in their matching or like jammies, Stuart. They're like in full on like matching set pajamas. I think Corey's is like rodeo themed. There's like horses on it.
Yeah, he's got like cowboys on it and stuff. But what really gets me about this is they come out full PJs as if it's like just waking up in the morning, and yet Topanga looks them down and points at spaghetti.
Yeah.
So either they're waking up real late, or Sean and Angela have some really weird breakfast choices.
Yeah, they're taking forkfuls of the spaghetti out of the big bowl. It's so nasty. And like Sean and Topanga, or excuse me, Sean and Angela are just like, I hate the kids. Like, this is our spaghetti. We're sick and tired of you. Like, go back to your house. Get out of here.
I just like to think that They gave them the rope, right? They were saying, okay, if you really don't want to stay in your apartment, you can stay with us for a few days. And this is probably like 2 or 3 days later, and they're sick, according to Panga. and they're just like, get out of here. We are done with you. And
I mean,
course,
it could be 1 or 2 hours. I mean, the way they're acting.
That's fair. And I think it's like, it makes sense though, because Sean and Angela, right? Like, so Corey and Topanga are now married. They're doing their married thing. Sean and Angela, they're now living together. So like, they're still in this like honeymoon period of just starting to live together. And like, who wants these like third and fourth wheels of their friends hanging around all the time, you know? Like, I think it makes sense. Like, get out of here. So they leave, and I just love how like they're like, well, we don't have any other friends. I don't know what we're gonna do. And I love the show highlighting that, because it's like, yeah, you only hang out with these people. Of course you don't have any other friends.
Except for his brother, but I don't know. We haven't seen a lot of them together a lot so far. It's been kind of like Jack and Eric do their own thing.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, like this is the season of musical living situations. It's absolutely bonkers to me that we are 10 episodes in and the living arrangements have shifted like 5 different times and it's not done yet, because we get to this next scene where Rachel and Angela are hanging out, and without so many words, Rachel's just like, oh my God, Angela, you're so happy. Are you like getting fucked on the regs? Like, really? Honestly?
They are whispering. I need to know what they're whispering about.
They're definitely whispering about the different like crazy sex positions they've tried. And I mean, I don't know that Angela would be telling Rachel like all the places across the apartment she's had sex yet, because like Rachel still lives there. But they're definitely, I feel like without them saying it, Stuart, Rachel is just like, listen, I hear you guys fucking at all hours of the night. I'm not getting any sleep. Like, I'm just going to move out and let you guys live together.
I mean, it's the courteous thing to do, but I mean, it does come out of the absolute blue. It's like, oh, how convenient. They kind of like need their own place, their own space away from things. And Rachel's just like, yeah, I'll leave. But absolutely,
Rachel,
is probably
Rachel
done
was
with everything.
Like, yeah, Rachel had like put her fucking stamp on that apartment. She had like written her name on the fucking walls, because it was like, oh, Jack's gonna move out. Oh, Eric's gonna move out. Oh, everybody's getting kicked out of this apartment except for Rachel, Sarah.
I know. I am shocked that after all this time, she finally let go of the apartment. And I think that in all honesty, I kind of feel like what would have made most sense was have the two couples living together, Corey and Topanga, and Sean and Angela. Why was that not the thing? Especially because they have 3 bedrooms. So theoretically, we can have a couple to a bedroom and then have like a guest bed or an office. I think that would have made the most, or make it, ooh, the smallest bedroom could be a closet for the girls. That would be even better.
I think the reason they didn't do that, it very much feels like they're like, oh, well, a married couple cannot have roommates. Like, they have to live on their own. But I think secretly, Topanga was like, I cannot have Sean and Corey living together. It is going to be a nightmare for me. I feel like the girls would not like that, because they wouldn't get any time individually with their boyfriends, because Sean and Corey would just be hanging out all the time, Stuart. Like, they wouldn't be able to have the couple time.
It's also to like add on this extra kind of change. Like, if they go through the whole ceremony of the wedding, they go on the honeymoon and then come back and then everything's the exact same. They move back in, they all hang out like as if they're all friends and stuff. It doesn't feel too much different, except for the use of the words like husband and wife.
Right.
Like, if they get their own space, it feels like they're a married couple. And it's also like kind of really instilling this old kind of 90s mentality of like, oh, you're married, you go and get a new place on your own and have to endure Alan's trial of absolute poverty that he seems to want to bestow upon them.
Yeah,
definitely. I agree with you, Stuart. Like, it is like they're really, really pushing on them. Like, oh, you're married, you have to be like adults now. But yeah, Rachel says she got a new job. Sarah, she is going to be an RA, a resident advisor.
That means that her room and board is free. That's all she fucking gets as an RA. I don't know what she's saying. That she has a. Do you? I don't think you get paid as an RA.
I don't think so. I thought it was just room and board.
I
thought that it was just like a way to get a cheaper way to live on campus.
Right. Well, whatever. Good for her. I don't know. Did you hear that Maitland Ward was talking about how nobody in the entire cast, except for Trina McGee and Will Friedle, supported her porn career? She got no support. besides from them.
I didn't even know she had a porn career.
Oh, by the way, Caitlin Ward, aka Rachel, is a porn star. Notably.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
But nobody had supported her. But then on the podcast, Pod Meets World, Topanga, Daniel Fishel, said that she was the only one invited to the wedding. So it doesn't really check out. But the article came out last week that nobody supported her. Like, nobody was like, hey, Maitland Ward, like, good job and congrats on your
being in porn.
On your porn career. And she was very offended by that.
Huh.
Yeah. What say you about that?
I mean, do you need someone to reach out to you and be like,
I mean, I think that's kind of the general consensus, but apparently Maitland Ward felt like
She probably felt judged because no one said anything. It could have just been that no one was judging her. They just weren't reaching out and being like, hey, like, do you get awards in porn? Like, is there an award ceremony? I'm
pretty sure there is. Yeah. But I don't think that she won anything.
I need to look up what these are called. Let's see.
Oh, Jessica, porn make awards. Sure you're doing your work computer.
I should probably do incognito.
Yeah, doing incognito. Now, Stuart, would you, if you had an ex coworker and they got a new job, would you congratulate them on their new porn career?
I mean, I barely congratulate them on their new job, let alone a new porn job. But yeah. I mean, like, if it's something that you, if you're in regular contact and they like maybe say congratulations on getting this role or something like that, and then you suddenly do porn and then they suddenly drop off the face of the earth, then yeah, I'd probably be offended myself.
Yeah, but I think that's probably what happened.
But I mean, like, you can't really be expecting like maybe a Twitter shout out or anything like that, especially considering that most of the cast are like really closely associated with Disney still, what with Girl Meets World.
That's what probably I not the thought. Right audience for it. See, and that was the other part of it. Thank you for reminding me, Stuart. She was very offended that she was the only cast member not invited back onto Girl Meets World. And the thing is, and she said, oh, but it was even before my porn career. But
wait, I thought she didn't get into porn like directly after Boy Meets World. This is like a recent thing she got into porn.
I don't know. I'm just citing what the article says. I gotta be transparent. I have not watched Maitland Ward's porn career at all.
So there are some. There are like the X-rated Critics Organization, Porn Humble Awards, Hard Choice Awards,
okay,
Grabby Awards, Golden Dickey Awards, Gay Erotic Video Awards, AVN Awards.
And was she nominated for any of this?
I have no idea. I was just reading out the types of awards there are.
Okay,
I'm trying to do the research live on here. My God. Let's see.
I mean, let's not discredit someone's performance just because they didn't win an award.
Wait, nominations are good enough. She did win an award. She did.
What did she win?
She won. Oh, God. She's won a lot. Maybe that's why she's really upset.
Like, okay, she's a legit name. Is she like the Pam Anderson of modern porn?
I don't know. So she won an AVN award.
That's AVN one of them.
Award. Yeah. So the things that she won in 2020, Best Supporting Actress, Best Three-Way Sex Scene, Best Favorite Camming Cosplayer.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a fan award she won. In 2021, she won Best Actress and Best Boy-Girl Sex Scene.
Wow, so she won awards.
And then, yeah, she's won a lot, actually. X-Biz, she won awards for in 2020, Best Crossover Star of the Year, Best Actress, Best Sex Scene. In 2021, another Best Acting, a Best Scene. She won Performer of the Year in 2022. Wow. She also won a Night Moves Award in 2020, an XRCO Award.
God, did she write a book? I'm on her Instagram right now. Looks like she is standing in front of a pile of books.
Okay. Or is that part of the movie?
Oh, maybe it's a pile of movies?
I don't know. What I'm telling you is that maybe that's what it was. Maybe she won all these awards and she's like, look, I won Performer of the Year and you did not even reach out to me.
It looks like mid-2013 is when she was posting nudes and topless photos of herself. And so then she got a big following. So then she was body painted for a Luciano Pisani.
Can we fast forward until when she became legit?
2019, she signed with an adult talent agency. And then yeah, it looks like she like really it's really kicked off around 2019. So I don't know why I was thinking this was like right after Boy Meets World that she did this, but no, this is more recently.
Right. Yes. So and no love from the Boy Meets World cast members. Another travesty.
And you know they would if it was the Oscars.
They definitely
would. They would be all about that. They'd be like, hey, girl, remember the back in the day we were BFFs on Boy Meets World? Can I come to your Oscar? Can I get like a little extra seat?
Yes. And also, I was not correct when I said that Ben Savage was trying to be the mayor of West Hollywood. He's just trying to be the like the council member. A council member in West Hollywood.
Okay,
now, I do think that that's probably easier to get. So if he doesn't get elected council member, I'm kind of gonna be a little surprised, but nonetheless.
Wow, she won, speaking of like you were saying awards, Sarah, she won so many awards from 2020 to currently.
Sis, so, like, did I not just list every single award that she won?
There are extra ones that you didn't even list. Like, there's even more.
Okay. Is there anything notable? Like,
no, it's fine. She won a lot of awards.
Like, boob shot, like anything interesting.
No, it's just the normal stuff. Her Instagram is like sexified. Okay. She did write a book. It's called Rated X.
Great. All right. Add it to your Christmas list.
Wow. Anyway, we spent so much time on that.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't know about this.
I mean, I don't like follow her on Instagram. I didn't know she was a porn star.
Well, that's the problem. How many other people do you follow on Instagram from this show? Do you follow Corey Matthews? Probably follow Topanga.
I'm told you this before. I literally only follow people on Instagram if I like already know them.
Oh, okay. Well, do you like their dog?
Yeah, he's a big St. Bernard. This is a ridiculous first pet to get, Stuart, is this giant St. Bernard.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but I live for it. Like, it's just walked in and I was just like, I instantly want to hug it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just so big and floofy.
It's adorable. We didn't get the dog's name, which is really upsetting because I wanted to know its name.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like, look, we got us a baby. Then we get Eric and Jack like see this girl and they're like, oh my God, she's so pretty. And this is going to be our other storyline, Sarah, where she's a total bitch. Like she is the HBIC. She is blonde. She's in charge. Yeah. She is their boss. Her name is Bridget Murphy. And her dad is the chancellor of the university.
Yeah. She scares the shit out of me. I'm not going to lie. Like, she just looks like an evil demon. And of course, Eric is like just slobbering over her. And she tells Jack that he is no longer the manager of this bookstore, this college bookstore.
Student union or whatever.
Yeah, she's taken over. And she calls herself like a nepotism baby. And Eric doesn't know what that means, but we do because we love that word.
One of my favorite little moments of this scene is when she's just like, oh, the chancellor of the university, I like to call him daddy. And Eric goes, I like to call him daddy too. It's like in a modern day setting that reads so differently. But yeah, they're both like, mainly Eric. He's drooling all over her. And she is mean to her. She's just like, I own you.
It's horrendous, but like the way Eric completely fawns over her is just like just plays into his like role in this show at the moment, which is, I think, pretty much playing to the fourth wall and that kind of like audiences play through the camera, just trying to make anyone laugh, because he emerges back with the plunger in his head. He goes, "Look, I'm a Teletubby," and then just stares for the longest time directly into the camera. I was just on the floor laughing.
It's so ridiculous. She tells him to go clean the toilets. And she's like to Jack, she's like, this must be so embarrassing for you. And he's like trying to act like he's not attracted to her. It's like this whole thing. Again, we get like Jack has replaced Eric. He has supplanted Eric as the heartthrob of the show. And he does this thing where he like, I don't know, Sarah, he like tucks his shirt like behind himself and he like puts his hand on his hip.
He does like a model pose in the middle of nowhere and just like flexes.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything for me. I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Eric comes out and why is he? He says, I'm a Teletubby. And then he says, not the purple one.
What's wrong with the purple one?
The purple one. I don't know if you remember this. Back in the day.
Was the purple one like a little rapey?
The purple one. Back in the day when everyone watched Teletubbies. And again, this is so totally not like cool modern day stuff, right? We're in 2022. But like that was like the quote unquote like gay Teletubby was the purple one. Like no one liked the purple one.
It was the effeminate one because it was the only one that had a purse. And everyone was like, oh, it must be gay.
I didn't know that.
And then everyone was just like, Teletubbies have sexes.
Teletubbies. No, you know what the true villain of the Teletubbies was? That the fucking sun baby sun. Yeah, that thing was creepy as fuck.
You didn't like it?
No. So creepy. It was so creepy. It just giggled and was weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole show is weird. I don't know how that even happened. Look, if you're giving me a free purse, then I'm going to wear the free purse.
Sarah's like, sign me up to be the purple Teletubby. I can't. Is it Tinky Winky? Is that the purple one?
I don't
one?
Fucking know. How Tinky do you Winky, even know yep. any yeah. other names?
Let's see. It was Tinky Winky. Lala was what, the yellow one?
Yellow one. Yeah.
Something something and Poe. And Poe was red, I think.
How do you not know the iconic song?
Dinky, Dinky Winky? No.
This was, I swear to God, this was number one in the UK.
Really?
Tinky Winky.
Tinky Winky. Dipsy. Lala.
Lala
Dipsy.
And Poe.
Poe. Because Poe didn't have like a double name. Poe was just Poe.
I don't understand.
Sarah didn't get it. Sarah, it's fine.
Am I too old for this?
I don't know. Stuart's looking at you like he's probably your age. So
I think I'm the oldest.
I wasn't getting down with Teletubbies.
I was too old for Teletubbies, but I still like it was in the lexicon. Like I knew about it. It was pop culture, you know?
I mean, like I was doing other stuff, I guess. I don't know.
You missed out.
Yeah. I mean, nope.
And their bellies were like televisions. It was really weird.
Why?
Who the fuck knows, Sarah? It was a weird, it was a cracked out show.
Am I just asking too many questions?
Yeah. You can't, there's no logic behind Teletubbies.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, good for them. I hope that the purse lives on. What happens if it's Chanel?
What?
What happens if the purse was Chanel?
There's no fucking way it was Chanel. It was probably just a purple purse.
Well, I don't know.
I'm looking this up.
And who's Chanel?
Do you seriously think that Tinky Winky was rocking around with a Chanel purse?
Oh, no. Tinky Winky had a red purse.
Ew.
It was bright red. Like fire engine red.
Well.
There you go.
Then I think that Tinky Winky has other problems, like not being a fashion icon.
Wow.
Corey and Topanga are in behold our future. This apparently it's a house. To me it looked like a condo, but you know, whatever. And Topanga's upset. She's like, why would you take me to this house that we could never afford? And he's like, if you we could afford it, would you like it? And he points out a quote-unquote nook. Now here's the thing, Stuart. Literally just looks like a tiny spot in the wall that goes in where a bookshelf is. Like, you can't even fit a chair in that nook.
I don't understand the obsession with the nook. What's going to go in it? How's it going to improve your lives? Really? Are you going to use it that often? These are the practicalities that Corey just doesn't think about and why Corey is an idiot.
Okay, book nooks sound great. Like, I am very much like an advocate of having a little space. But I don't know. I thought it was the draw was the built-in.
But that's not a nook. You could have built-ins without it being a nook. This has like literally, I would say 3 or 4 feet of space. And you can maybe put a chair in there. And it has like not even bookshelves. It has like this weird shelf in there. Again, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like the fireplace would be a bigger draw. There's literally a fireplace in your house and you're talking about this fucking nook. Like, what are you doing?
Can you tell me why there's just random tile right in the living room? What is that supposed to be?
I think, oh yeah, that's just trash. I don't understand this floor plan at all.
Because you use the tile for the kitchen, but obviously that's not the kitchen.
No, that's definitely not the kitchen. We meet this absolute insane real estate agent who is wearing the brightest pink pantsuit. She has a fucking scarf around her neck. She has sunglasses on her head. She slides down the banister and goes, hello, like Mrs. Doubtfire style. The fuck is going on?
such a great entrance. Do you know who the actress is?
I have no idea. Am I supposed to know who this is?
Joanne Worley, who's the voice of the wardrobe in Beauty and the Beast. And I was like, instantly, I was like, that voice is really familiar. And then I went onto her IMDb, and it's pretty much it, like all the different features of like wardrobe for all the different variances of like Beauty and the Beast 2 and the game and the things like that.
That this makes entrance more sense was brilliant. Now. Yeah, like I do surely feel like at this point, Stuart, like in the show, they're like, we can't have a normal person. If we're going to have a guest like character in any sense, they have to be completely insane.
Well, yeah, especially of course.
To draw in Corey, because you know that Corey is like attracted to those kind of personalities. Like he's been brought up with Eric and he's going to seek them out.
Yeah. So it's Edith Stevens. She says, how do you like this breathtaking starter cottage with Nook? And Topanga's upset. She says she's going to report her to the Better Business Bureau because her husband is a dope. She says, what? After she says, after 3 minutes of talking to him, what led you to believe we could afford this house?
He can barely afford a sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and, this is her MO. She targets these like young, vulnerable, uneducated on housing young adults and gets them to sign their life away. And that's who she targets. I mean, Topanga's kind of on the right path to say, I'm going to report you to the Better Business Bureau because she's targeting a very specific person, and that's young idiots.
Right, because anybody who doesn't know, a realtor makes money off of like the commission. Yeah. However, usually like a realtor makes money on the person who is selling their house, not the buyer of the house, right? So like I purchased a house, I didn't pay the realtor any money. It was the seller who had the realtor and they paid like 10%, whatever percent of the cost of the house. But totally makes sense that she's targeting these young couples because it doesn't matter if they fail to pay their mortgage a few months from now. She got that check, honey. She doesn't need to worry about it. On to the next. So it definitely, she feels like the realtor version of a used car salesperson, Stuart.
100%. Like she's giving off real dodgy vibes. And then even when they protest and she's like, oh no, you're thinking I can't afford it. Yes, you can. Absolutely like bonkers. But what I couldn't get over was the value of this house.
Yeah. She's like, all you need is we need your signatures, and then we need your parents' signatures, and then you'll have your very own dream home with Nook.
Yeah, but Stuart's right on track because this house was $80,000 freaking dollars.
Yeah.
In 1999 or 1998, which I mean, just to do the math.
Doing it right now.
Yeah, but still, so I feel like $80,000 is much. Nothing.
No, $136,000. But like the cost of housing has double. Inflation really isn't a way to get the right price. But either way, I was talking to Sarah about this today. Like, I don't know if they had first-time home loans back in the day. Usually you could get your down payment to 5%. If you do like a conventional loan, it's more like 10%. Corey and Topanga would never qualify for a loan. This is why they would need his parents to co-sign. One, they have no credit history. They are college students who probably don't have credit cards. Two, they don't have jobs, which is what you fucking need to buy a house.
No jobs. None at all.
And three, they're very, very young, which means that like they're going to be penalized on their rate, which means their mortgage rate is going to be super high as compared to someone who maybe is older, has a really good job, a low debt to income ratio. Like there's 0% chance they'd ever be able to get a house on their own. This is why this lady, Stuart, is trying to get them to get his parents involved to co-sign on this loan.
Trying to get the two guarantors, and then especially like putting up their house as leverage is just like, oh, that's really going to go down well. But I just don't understand how anyone is engaging with a young couple for one thing, and is their first question is, so you have a job? And then Corey's answer is like, he's either lied or she hasn't asked, which case, red flags left and right.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that like, Corey might be dumb enough to go down this path, but not Topanga. But furthermore, Topanga's dad is apparently rich. So why are we not like going after Topanga's dad's house. Well, actually, he lives in an apartment right now, but still.
Maybe the divorce settlement is still happening, right?
Oh, and they're still figuring that out. Yeah, they're losing all their fucking money, and that's where that's going.
Exactly. And so, like, they don't understand. And the thing is we like, Topanga used to be so smart. Like, do you remember that? You remember the times when Topanga was smart?
Yeah.
That all flew out the window because they go in and they're like, we have a great idea. And they're telling Amy and Alan this story. And I like when Alan is just like, what is this? And Amy says, I don't like when you call him an idiot, Alan. And he's like, I didn't call him anything. And she's like, oh, it must have just been in my head. Like, they're like, we're not going to do this. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you can't buy a house. You don't have a job. Like, I don't understand how Corey and Topanga have any right to get upset about this. They don't even have freaking jobs. This is ridiculous.
Well, they don't even have, like, exactly. So where are they getting even a mortgage payment at all? It's a very, very bad plan.
That's what it is. They're skipping steps. They're going from a dorm to they want to buy a house, and they're like in their second year of college, second semester of college. Like they're barely even starting their lives. You're skipping a ton of steps. Like obviously today's world is totally different, Stuart. Like most people our age are either never going to buy homes or it's going to take for someone to be like in their 40s to afford a home. But back in the day, it was a little bit easier, but even then, like, you're going to have to put up with apartment dwelling for a little bit until you can freaking get a down payment together, save up for it.
I mean, there are times in this episode where I'm there on like Alan's side fully, and I'm just like, yeah, he's got to learn his lesson and stuff like that. And there are other times where I'm like, oh, but just give him a little bit of help and like, kind of like show them the ropes kind of thing. But in this instance, I was fully like, Corey, you're an idiot. Like, making guarantees, oh, we're going to pay it. How? You have no income, and your first payment is going to come that month. Like, you're not even going to get paid quick enough to be able to, like, pay the first payment, in which case you're going to lose the house completely. Also, you have multiple sources of potential dwellings. Like, you've just been staying with your friends. You've also got college accommodation that seems to be free as well. Like, I'm assuming that Alan and Amy are helping out towards this because I don't suppose Corey's really got savings. Right. And yet you're already complaining about that and wanting a house. The entitlement is through the roof.
Yeah. They get both Corey and Topanga get really upset. They're like, I don't understand why you're doing this to us. Why do you want us to live like this? I do think there is a moment here where Alan can say, maybe you could fix a couple things. Like, I do think there is a way to give advice without completely just being figure it out and shrugging your shoulders. Right, Sarah? Like, I feel like we discussed this last episode.
Yeah.
Where you took a bit of a harder stance on they need to do it on their own. And me, and I should say this coming from someone who, my dad is a contractor. If I have issues with my house, he is my first call always. Like, hey, this thing is making a weird noise. Do you have any idea what that might be? My dad has literally never just said, figure it out. You know, he's always, oh, maybe it could be this. Maybe it could be that. He's helped me time and time again. Not everybody's parent can do that, right? Either with their own skills or maybe they're not willing to do it. But we've seen Alan fix a sink. I'm just saying he could offer advice instead of just completely saying absolutely not.
He could, however, look how happy Corey and Topanga were by the end of the episode. And it's because ultimately they figured it out on their own. So I think that the lesson still stands. It's tough love. It's really, really tough love. Yes, he physically could go over there and fix the sink. But I think that it means more to Corey and Topanga that they figure it out on their own, and they did figure it out on their own, and they didn't have to get Alan. And then the next episode, they redesigned the apartment. Like, at this point in time, the two of them are just moping. They haven't even tried. And then in the next scene, or the scene after, where Sean says, you need to take pride in your home, and you're not even trying. I think that once again, it's like, if they tried and tried and tried and are not getting anywhere, sure. But they haven't even made an effort at this point to try to take pride in their home, to try to fix shit. They just want everybody to fix it for them. And maybe if Alan saw that Corey and Topanga were actually trying to do something for themselves, maybe he would give in. But it's the fact of the matter that they are just looking for the handout before they even try on their own. I think that's where Amy and Alan are like, yeah, you gotta like figure it out.
Yeah, that's all very fair. And like, I have so many thoughts on the sink situation later that we will get into. But I do think that's very fair to say. Like, it's really frustrating watching Sean and Angela come over and them just be like, and them being like, yeah, you know, it's a little rough. And Corey and Topanga just wallowing. That's all they're doing is sitting in this place, basically crossing their arms, refusing to make it any better than how it already
is. They haven't even picked up a fucking sponge and bleach and tried to clean it. They have done nothing to make their living situations better. And that's why I don't feel bad for them that they're not getting help, because they're not trying at all. And by the way, they kind of have their own fucking built-in bookshelf nook. And take pride in that nook. Did you see that thing?
I see a bookshelf.
Yeah, it's a nook. I classify it as a nook.
If you call it a nook, it's a nook, apparently. Well, Stuart, I feel like Sean really does play the role of like what we thought Alan would be doing. And I do kind of like that they have him in this role, because he's been in like shitty situations. He's lived in shitty places and he's made the best of them. So I do kind of like that they give this to him, like have his character be the one saying these things.
I kind of would have liked it though if Corey had given like his friend that he's known since like childhood a bit of kind of credit for like pointing out his own privilege, because Sean's that guy. And look, you should appreciate this. Like, you've got everything that I would want if I was in this situation. Of course, Sean's actually living the high life at the moment elsewhere. But like, if he were in Corey's situation, he would see the bright side. He would see what they've got, which is a serviceable apartment that needs a few kind of like sort of fixings. And as Sarah's pointed out, a ton of bleach. But like, there is something there to kind of be improved upon. And yet Corey is just there calling his dad a cheapskate for one thing, which I thought was absolutely ludicrous. Yeah, cheapskate for not giving his son $80,000. But like, Sean is pointing this out to Corey, and yet Corey is still throwing it back in his face like a spoilt little child. And it's just absolutely reeking of middle class entitlement, of like kids who have been brought up to think like sort of, this is what I deserve because I'm married. And it's just like, doesn't come with like all the stuff with it.
Yeah,
it does require work and it does require effort.
I guarantee you, if Sean and Angela moved into this apartment, then Sean would do everything in his power to make it a good home for Angela from that second forward. And it is the fact that Corey and Topanga grew up with a stable roof over their head and, for the most part, two parents, and got everything that they ever needed, food, water, clothes, everything, that they are digging their feet in deep. Like, Sean can see that, like, you know, there's times where he didn't even have a roof over his head, you know? So I think that Sean can be a little bit more creative in this situation. And he's like, I love what he said, like, take pride in yourself and take pride in this place and like actually give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really annoying that Corey doesn't listen to Sean here more. He's been best friends with Sean forever. He knows what Sean has been through. He knows the living situations Sean has been in. And so for him to like throw this in his face, where he's basically just like, you live with your girlfriend in an apartment you lucked into and you're not even married. It's like, how dare you throw that into Sean's face? He decided not to get married young. That's not his fault. You're the one who chose to get married. Like, this, none of this is Sean's fault. And so for you to basically say like, you don't deserve the living arrangements you have now, it's really unfair of Corey. And I feel like we see this a lot with him, where he takes advantage of him and Sean's relationship and he feels like he could say anything. And like, Sean's just going to have to like live with it. And Sean really thinks, he's like, I don't know why, like, we have this situation we're in, and him and Angela leave. And you really can't blame them. Like, I wouldn't want to be hanging around with those two either, because they're just miserable right now. And if they even like spent one second, like you said, cleaning the place up, working, instead of just like, again, Topanga's just lounging on the couch, Corey's just sitting in a chair. You have the time. Clean it up a little bit. You know, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be this amazing apartment, but you have the ability to improve it at least a little bit. So yeah, it's really annoying seeing this entitlement from Cory and Topanga here.
And they still have the ex-tenants like Popeye's box on the top of the literally yeah, they have the old trash from somebody else still there. They haven't even picked anything up. Now, I do think that perhaps the school should have responsibility of getting a cleaner in between tenants, but whatever. I guess not in the married dorms. That's not what they do.
Yeah. We get back to this Eric and Jack storyline. It's honestly so stupid. It's like Eric is obsessed with her tushy. The tushy controls you. They love the word tushy in this show. Were they not allowed to say butt or something? Like, what's the deal with that? Cory loves to say tushy too. It's really weird. I feel like I'm watching like a kindergartner show.
Yeah. Like Barney.
Like Barney. And so Jack is trying to coach him. He's just like, you have to say, I'll get to it when I'm good and ready. So shut your cake hole, Irene. Why that killed me so much, but I remembered that line for whatever reason. Shut your cake hole, Irene.
Yeah, but her name is Bridget.
So
confusing. Why would you call her Irene?
Eric wrote her a poem on the biggest piece of paper ever. Bridget, you make me fidget.
That's what all he got. That's all as far as he got.
So stupid. So Bridget comes up and she gives them orders. And of course, Jack says, I'll get to it when I'm good and ready. So shut your cake hole, Irene. And she turns to Eric and Eric just says, cake hole.
Yeah. And then she says, something that Maitland Ward probably has said a couple of times, suck my third toe. All right, well, moving forward.
Oh no, this is so gross. This is a place of this is a business. This is a business. First of all, she's sitting on the counter, which is also gross.
Right.
But you can't have people licking toes in public.
Yeah.
In your establishment.
Grim. It's just grim. Yeah. It's just awful. And Eric is just down straight away.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked, just gets down to it. And then off camera. And I think the fact that it's off camera makes it even worse.
Yeah, because you're like, what is he doing?
Oh, no.
You just have an imagination about it. Like Cory says, you have to have an imagination.
No, or you just need to blank out.
And Jack gets fired. But Eric says he's in a brand new healthy relationship. So
good for him.
But then he just found out that Eric likes to be dominated.
Good for him. Good for him. Yeah. Yeah.
We're back to Cory and Topanga. Topanga's laying on the truly good, gross looking couch.
But that's not even their couch. They just like, that's like the furniture they moved in with. It's so freaking gross. Probably dust bunnies in there. So basically Cory is raging out. He's just like, you know, Sean doesn't have any idea. And Topanga is like, hey, like, you know, maybe we should just like fix it up. And he kind of fights back a little bit. And they talk about the nook. And Topanga just kind of throws some reality. She's just like, we're not going to get the house. We're not going to get the nook. It is what it is. Like, let's just try to... We live here now. Like, let's try to make it the best. And then Cory gets a little bit of inspiration.
Yeah, he says, what if I fix the sink? And she's like, do you know how to fix the sink? He's like, absolutely not.
I actually really like the interactions between Cory and Topanga this point forward. Like, I thought that they actually seemed like a real couple that loved each other and were a team. Thought it was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Stuart, I agree with this. Like, she's like, what if I helped you? Cory gets underneath the sink. Barely any time to do anything. He's just laying under there. She turns the water on and he gets up a sludge on his face.
Which means it's always been leaking this entire time. And I think you may have got to the crux of the problem here, guys.
Yeah. And she's just like, I'm so sorry. But I do love this part because they're back to being like the silly couple that we love, where he's like, you gotta hug me. And she says, get away, Swamp Thing. And he goes, Swamp Thing wants the booty.
This was so cute. I really liked this. Yeah. And actually, props for Corey to know that he says that he doesn't know how to fix the sink, but he knows that you can't turn the sink on if you're under it.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's good. So then they are starting to get a little frisky, but then there's a knock on the door.
You gotta say the line. I'm taking you back to the swamp to do things.
Things.
Things. This is how they got around like being too sexy for like a kids show.
Yeah.
But it makes it worse because he goes, things. So you just have to imagine what those things are.
All have sorts to do with
Topanga's third toe. We don't know.
Well, we learn from this interaction with their neighbor what the end of the Swamp Thing game consists of. So
I love how we're just going, hello, pointing at the baby. And they're like, and Corey, again, Ben Savage is a comedic genius. He just goes, I don't want to play anymore.
If this neighbor came around to my house, I would just be locking my doors. Like, stop coming in with your screamy baby.
Yeah, I didn't birth this baby. Go find a babysitter.
She is making this baby my problem. This is your problem.
So rude.
she's just like, oh, can you, Topanga automatically offers. She's like, oh, I can watch if you want to go see a movie. And she's like, can I just sleep instead?
Yeah,
which fair. And he, I think it's Corey goes like, sleep as long as you need, darling.
Corey was great. See, he was so funny. I like, from that point forward, I really liked him.
Yeah.
So yeah, they watch the baby and then Corey fixes the sink.
This is bullshit. First of all, I cannot. I have had too many homeowner issues to approve of this scene. He goes under the sink for 2 fucking seconds. Doesn't even have a fucking wrench.
No
tools.
I'd
like to know what he did.
Yeah, that what did he do?
Magically, it's fixed. There's no way. This is ridiculous.
Well, we have to diagnose what's wrong with the sink in the first place, Stuart. As the sink specialist here, what was wrong with the sink?
I mean, as Sean's already pointed out in this episode, it was a rusty pipe.
It was a rusty pipe.
Of course, Corey must have like gone under there, replaced the pipe, changed the fixings, re-screwed it all in with his bare hands.
Exactly.
In the space of 1 second.
And also, it takes more time than like, because they turn it on and it's like, it magically goes from brown to clear, like almost instantly. Yeah.
Well, that was very satisfying, Jessica. We can't have a 2-minute scene.
I just watching the water. This is such trash. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. You know how many issues I've had with my pipes over the years? Like, this is so annoying. I have had situations, any older home, which again, this probably is an older apartment. And if you have pipes that are not PVC pipes, if you have like copper pipes, like the metal pipes, you get buildup, especially if you have a lot of like sediment, a lot of minerals in your water, which we do. You have to snake them, which that means putting this wire device in through the pipe to clear a blockage. And then you know what happens?
What?
That stanky black water comes flying out at warp ass speed.
But and no, you know what already happens? Gone Corey's face.
Yeah, except you know what? I got it all over my entire body. So I don't feel bad for him at all. Especially because he did this in 2 fucking seconds and he was done. And he got to play his fucking Swamp Thing.
Well, I was happy for them. I thought it was very satisfying seeing the water go from brown to clear very quickly. And the baby was asleep. And they were so happy. And it made me happy.
It was the line where she just goes, yeah, she's comfortable here. And then it kind of like sets into them. That like, yeah. We could probably make this into a home. And it's a nice kind of moment.
It's really nice, Jessica. Can we just forget the logistics of
pipe fixing? As a homeowner, this offended me deeply. Well, it really did. Because nothing is this easy. I mean, even if he had a wrench, I probably would be okay with it. But without even a fucking single tool, he fixes this shit. Like, he's not a fucking plumber. He knows nothing about this.
What do you want them to do? Do you want them to, like, okay, let's go take the bus to the local Home Depot. Let's go shopping for the appropriate tools. Let's go get the pipes. Let's take the bus back from the Home Depot. Let's fix the sink. Like, this is a 22-minute show, Jessica. Like, we don't have time for this shit. We need to fix the sink's already been broken for two episodes. We don't have time for this.
I think they could have done it where, like, the beginning of the episode, he's, like, working on it, and then he fixes it by the end of the episode. Like, I'm not saying we have to watch him fix it the entire time. I'm saying one scene he's starting to work on it, and then a later scene he fixes it. It can't be like, it's so simple. It's so simple. It's too simple.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this episode. I'm going to bring it into Final Cut Pro. I'm going to splice in an episode of This Old House where they fix a sink and then send it back to you. And then you'll be very satisfied.
I'm just still annoyed about it.
I know. It's okay, Jessica. You know who's not annoyed?
Stupid.
Sean and Angela, who are now, they're too good to sleep on their leather sofa. They're
like, who lays on the floor when you have a perfectly nice sofa that you're resting your fucking head against?
Well, they are relaxing, and Sean's basically saying, I want to give you the world. I want to give you a stink hole. Maybe not right now, but eventually. Isn't that nice, Stuart?
I mean, he's jealous of their stink hole. She summed it up so perfectly.
A lot of people are jealous of Maitland Ward's stink hole. Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to just see myself out.
It's Sean and his, like, sort of how good he is. And, like, he's just there and he's, like, thinking about what Corey said. And he's, like, actually taking in what his best friend actually says and is really thinking about it. And he's going, yeah, I don't deserve this. And it's like, sure, no, you've been through like a really tough life. Like, embrace the really nice thing while you have it and really enjoy it. And then Angela kind of reminds him of that, which I think is really kind of nice. She doesn't just go, yeah, let's just sack it all in and stuff like that. Let's enjoy it while we kind of can. And then, yeah, it's a sweet moment between the two of them.
Yeah, I love her. We'll have a stink hole just like Corey and Topanga. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, I get it, right? Like, it brings people together. Like, having hardship, it sometimes, like, causes strife, but it also brings people really close together.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand, like, why he's a little bit jealous, because they have it so easy. And sometimes it really does, like, bond you, kind of having to work through some really rough times. The next scene is, the logistics of the next scene really crack me up, because Corey and Topanga show up at his parents' house, and he has the glass of water, and he's just like, drink this, you no signing, no money giving us, no letting us stay in your house, little wisp of a man. Drink it. And he's like, is it poison? And the fact that they, like, I don't know, took a bus, drove with just this glass of water all the way to his parents' house.
Just walked the whole way, just stomped down with a glass of water.
It's so funny. And I love Alan here. Alan is really funny in this episode, where he's like, you fixed pipes? He fixed pipes, dear. And then to be like, well, I was playing with the baby. They had a baby, dear. But yeah, he's just like, and here's the thing. Corey says, I was gonna come over and help ask you to help me fix the pipes, but I didn't. And you know why? I didn't think you'd help me. He's like, would you have helped me? And Alan says, no. And he's like, well, I knew it. We fixed the pipes ourselves. How do you feel about that? And Alan says he's proud, very proud. And Corey basically throws it in his face. He's like, we're gonna paint, we're gonna put up a bookshelf, and when we can afford it, we're gonna buy that house with a nook. And Alan is just like, well, you finally figured it out. Welcome to being an adult. And I just, like, he's like, you know, he talks about how, because we know Alan and Amy got married young and they didn't have a lot. And he's like, we didn't have anything. Nobody would help us. And we did fine. We didn't know it then, but it was the sweetest time of our lives. We bonded together forever. We felt completely in love because we knew we made a life for ourselves with nobody's help but our own. And I would never take that away from you. Here's the thing. Here's the, like, teeny tiny thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a parent. But I feel like a lot of times, like, parents want their kids to have better lives than, like, what they had, right? Like, that's the goal. And I feel like if you can help your son fix a sink in his first apartment, why wouldn't you help him? It feels like that could be the bonding moment, right? Maybe Amy and Topanga are bleaching the stove or the fridge, and Alan and Corey are fixing the sink. Like, I don't understand why this is such a big thing.
I think it comes from this whole mentality of like, I've suffered, therefore the kids have to suffer. And I think while Amy and Alan are certainly coming from a place that I think is quite honest, like they want to share what they bonded over, which was their hardships in a previous life. What Amy and Alan also don't quite realize is the economy has changed quite a bit. Buying a house is somewhat harder than what it was when they were young. And if this was applicable now, nigh on impossible. So, like, I don't think they quite grasp that the level of hardship has snowballed, particularly as it goes along. And I think that, like, there are ways in which you can instill that whole thing of, like, okay, you're going to have hard times, you're going to bond over them and stuff like that. You can kind of, not engineer it, but you can kind of point out, or at least not help them to a degree where they're going to have those moments. But you can do so with a bit of a guiding hand that's going to help them as well. You can say to them, okay, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to fix your sink for you, but the tools are in the shed. Go and get them.
This is the problem. It feels like the boomers were like, these Gen Xers need to learn all on their own. And so then the Gen Xers were like, yeah, fuck it. These millennials don't know what the fuck is up. They got to learn how to do shit on their own. And the millennials are like, I'm just going to fucking YouTube this shit because my parents suck. Like, that's truly what it feels like. It's like, why are you making their lives harder? Like you said, offer them tools. Offer them like, hey, have you tried this? Like, I just don't think it has to be that much of a life lesson to fix a fucking sink.
No,
Sarah's going to disagree with me.
I mean, I've given my stance about it in the last two episodes. Give it a go on your own. If you can't figure it out, then accept the help. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see both sides. I don't know if I was a parent, then I wouldn't, you know, rush to help my child. But I understand the lesson that Amy and Alan are giving. And I'm also the type of person that is very... I don't ask my mom or my parents that much of help. I do try to keep it on my own. And I think that that's kind of just like what I do. But I mean, my family listens to this podcast sometimes and maybe they'll disagree. So whatever.
We get to the final scene where we have this conversation between Rachel and Angela. It turns out more musical housemates. Sean, Jack, and Eric are going to take over the apartment as they once did. Back to this. And so then Angela is left homeless. And I'd be so pissed if I was fucking Rachel. I'm like, I just got this gig as an RA. I get a room all to myself. And now I got to fucking bring you into my fucking room again? What the fuck?
Well, she seems pretty happy.
Maybe she's faking it.
Maybe. Probably.
She did win awards.
Yes, she did. Did you like Angela's hair this episode, Jess? She changed it again. I thought it looked great.
I liked it in the first scene where they were in like the student union. Yeah. This scene, not as much. It's still cute. I like the darker red for sure.
Mm, yeah. And then our end cap scene is the dog is still there. The Saint Bernard is adorable. Still there. Is laying on Eric, and Eric is dreaming that he's like making out with Bridget, but it's really just the dog.
I would love to take a nap with this adorable dog.
Well, what do you want to name the dog? It doesn't have a name. I'm assuming it's a boy.
Why not? All dogs are boys, right?
Yeah. Greg.
All dogs are boys and all cats are girls. Greg?
Yeah.
Who names a dog Greg?
I don't know. Seems like a good name for him.
What?
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, fine.
Maybe his name is like... Bonkers. He looks like a Bonkers.
Fuck no, I'm not gonna name my dog Bonkers. Fuck that.
Let Stuart name the dog. Stuart, what are you gonna name the dog?
I mean, I'm leading more with Greg than I am Bonkers.
Yeah, there we go.
But that's only because he's really large and cuddly, so I'm just thinking of a Greg from Taskmaster.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, Greg from Taskmaster, notoriously cuddly.
Yeah, that's his full name, Greg from Taskmaster.
Oh, and we yeah.
Just call him Greg for short. All right, so that's Picket Fences. Love the episode. I really did, actually.
I think this is a one of like a trio of great episodes, right? Like the last two and then this one were really, really good. And this like kind of mini arc of like Corey and Topanga getting their bearings after getting married. This episode does follow that, right, where we have like the redecorating phase, but it's definitely more played for like It's a ridiculous episode, Stuart. It's absolutely preposterous.
It's a bit of a crazy one. I'm going to say, like, after going back to, like, the old kind of, like, moral stories that you used to get for, like, each of the episodes, and they're kind of being a real lesson to learn, this is just back to the shenanigans.
Lots of shenanigans. Yeah. So let's take a break, hear from our ad friends, and get into What a Drag.
All right. What a Drag. We start off in the student union. We have Jack and Eric. Jack is just standing around. Eric's working on the cash register. And this, like, gang of intruders comes in with crazy Luther, and they look so just like tropey. They're all wearing black with like these leather jackets, and they're like, apparently they're going to have this big party. It's going to be an illegal party, and it's this floating rave that the school has been trying to bust. they're like, should we call the cops? And Jack's just like, that's crazy. Luther Montoflo, whatever. He's insane. Crazy Luther, the guy who sells stereo products at low, low prices. What are we doing here?
I don't know. But why in the world would Eric and Jack want to shut down a party, especially biggest party of the century? They would want to be invited to the biggest party of the century.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So they call the cops, and the cops come and try to break down the party, and basically they don't arrest them because the party didn't actually happen. Now, they could have probably gotten them on breaking and entering.
Yeah, but like, it's like, oh, but they didn't actually throw the party, so we can't arrest them because they just thought about doing it. But it's not like they threw a million other ones either. Like, they threw a bunch of other parties. Like, what?
I don't know. So they let them go. And then Crazy Luther is like, I'm going to get you. You're not safe here anymore. All this jazz.
Yeah. All his like gang members come in. I don't know. There's one guy who's wearing the most ridiculous outfit. He's wearing very light blue denim jeans with like a giant hole in the knee. He's wearing like a gray sweatshirt, and he's also wearing a very light denim vest.
Yeah.
Taken seriously.
He definitely doesn't fit in with the rest of his buddies, but they probably just picked him up on the side of the road. Be like, hey, do you want to be like intimidating? Here, come join us.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is wearing dark colors.
And he says, enjoy what's left of your
life. Wait, hold on. Jessica, look at that scene and look at the back. The cop is there as one of the
cop is part of the gang. He's like, yeah, motherfuckers, guess what? I'm crooked, bitch.
It's a crooked cop just threatening these kids in the background.
Stuart, I just want to let you know, this didn't happen in most universities in the United States. This is abnormal. In case you weren't sure.
Floating raves? Like the breaking into SUs, like I don't understand the logic of anything involved in this entire scene. It doesn't make sense at all. Neither does like the police just holding them randomly for Jack and Eric to taunt them while they're supposedly arrested, and for Eric to go, oh, you want to chew these off, because apparently Crazy Luther eats fingers, and then they just let him go and walk away.
He threatens to kill two people, and they're just like, seems harmless enough. Yeah. Let's let him go.
Probably because it's like campus security and they've got no authority.
It's true. It's absolutely ridiculous. Jack comes back into the, like, later in the day, comes back in the apartment. Poor Sean's just trying to make a PBJ, living his life. And Jack's like, where's Eric? He was so young and stupid. Oh. And Sean says, yeah, he's fine. Like, don't worry about it. They're like, we have to come up with a plan. In comes Eric. He's wearing a red dress. He has pantyhose on. He has red heels on. And he says, here's what we're going to do. And Jack's like, no, I'm not doing this. And Eric's like, fine, I'm going to go shopping. And I love how he turns to Sean. He's like, how do I look, babe?
Sean's very supportive of all of this thing. All right, let's talk about the look, right? Yeah. We got to talk about the look. I'm not going to bash Eric, because I do actually think that the face looks good, like good makeup, the hair is decent enough. Boobs.
And this was the look high. This was the look though, where he had like blue eyeshadow and red lips. Like this was a 90s thing. So it's not like he's out of style with the time.
Yes. Okay.
It's
okay.
A little heavy. No.
I don't mind the dress either. What I mind is the boobs are too high.
He's
especially for a woman of that stature. I think the boobs should come down a couple inches. What do you think about that?
Maybe. What do we think about like a belt cinched under the boobs? Would that help?
That was my other thing. I think that Eric needs a hourglass figure. He's too padded straight.
Hips. He is not padded at all.
No.
And it's absolutely throwing it off. It's like below the boobs, it's just straight down. And it doesn't work. He needs accessories. I've been watching too much Drag Race. He needs like a belt.
Yeah, where's the necklace? Where's the bracelets?
What is with the cut at the bottom of the dress? Just flat, like no, there's no texture to it.
Yeah.
Uninspired, yeah. Eric.
This is what do they call like out of the bag fashion, or like this is like an H&M look.
Off the rack. Yeah. He's not like you say, he's not padded enough. And he says, my name is Olga Svetlana. I am shot put champion. I don't shave my armpits. he goes full in. I mean, at least it's an excuse, right? He doesn't shave his armpits. Like he's giving an excuse for why he'd have hairy armpits, which I like.
But also wearing long sleeves. So I don't feel like this is information we have to indulge.
That's fair. And so Sean says you need, and I love how Sean is the one giving like advice because he's done the drag before.
Yes. And
I feel like this moment, Stuart, if anybody has seen Drag Race, the moment where they're like, where they make over like their friends and family, that feels like this episode where then the family member looks in the mirror and they just start like feeling themselves. Like that is what it feels like.
There's a scene that this reminded me of absolutely from Drag Race. I think it's like season 10 where a drag queen called Ms. Cracker, put in drag for the first time some social media stars, and this guy called Chester C, who gets into drag for the first time in his life, ordinarily has beard, shaved it off, and then looks at himself and just sees what he says is just, I'm beautiful, and then just starts making love to himself in the mirror, just cannot stop posing,
yeah,
and just absolutely feeling himself. And so Eric, as he approaches, as he says, I need to discover my chickness, does the exact same, and he absolutely feels himself when he sees his personification of femininity, Chantel Dubois.
It's so good. It's so good. And we see like Sean smiling behind. He's like, I'm a little fresh girl and I am very shy.
Very shy.
And I do love Sean is like, feels like Sean is like so proud of him.
Yeah.
Sean is like his drag mother in this moment.
Truly. I do love the faces that Sean was making in the background. And then he comes around and tries to fix the hem on the skirt. We were giving some critiques on that earlier.
He's there with his little pincushion on the wrist. Like, yes, he's a professional.
It's so good. It's so good. He's fixing it. And so, he's like, okay, Jack, now you. We have midterms. And Jack's like, no, I'm staying a man and I'm facing him like a man. And this is where I'm like, you know what, Jack? You need to calm down on your misogyny nonsense. Calm your ass down. Get into drag with Eric and have some fucking fun, all right? Fucking wet blanket. I can't. Jack sucks.
He is a wet blanket.
Meanwhile, poor Topanga walks into their stink hole.
My favorite song. My favorite color is yellow. I'm such a happy fellow. It makes me jiggle like Jello.
And then, hello. Who's the most beautiful, wonderful husband there is? And Topanga looks, again, they've known each other forever. How the fuck does he not realize Topanga hates this? Mm-hmm. He even painted, like, normally you just paint the walls. He painted the cabinets. He painted the fucking refrigerator. How? Why?
The door. Everything is yellow. Everything.
He's given it what we call here in the UK, like the landlord's gloss. He's taken out some thick white gloss paint and he's just gone over everything. Light switches and everything.
Oh, yes, yeah. It really is just god awful. And Topanga comes in and is literally terrified. Apparently it was only $3.99 a gallon, this paint. So what a steal.
That's a really good deal, honestly. But he says same as the city pays. Like, he's very excited. And you know what? I'm proud of Corey for like working with a budget. Like, it makes me very happy to see him doing that. But like, bro, like, you could pay the extra dollar for like just white, you know? Like, we don't need this hideous, like, it literally looks like a freaking bucket of Goulden's mustard. It's
the gallon too much. Says industrial street paint.
It's terrible.
I mean, do they not paint the streets with white paint as well for like arrows and other things? Like, why the yellow? Why?
It's so because bright.
Because his favorite color is yellow and it makes him happy as a fellow.
It's so awful. And I do love, he's like
jello.
I do love how he's like, I have so many ideas. And Topanga's like, let's talk about them. And he's like, I want to surprise you.
I want to surprise you every day for the rest of our lives.
At this point,
well, the thing is, like, at this point, he clearly knows that Topanga hates it. And I think at this point, he's just trolling her
yeah.
a little bit.
Probably, especially when he like hands her the roller and he like leaves and she's like, where are you going? And he goes, Cork World. Like, the fact that there is such a thing as fucking Cork World, I want to know what drugs the writer's room were on during this episode, and I would like some, please.
I love Cork World. I love Cork World.
Like, I guess, like, you would, like, right, because there is the Container Store, which sounds a little odd if you're, like, 20 years ago, but, like, Cork World? How many cork things do you actually need where you're going to Cork everything. World?
Everything. It has everything. A coffee table, coasters,
why cups. Do you need to pin things to your coffee table?
Oh, so you want to hear something not really interesting? In school, we had...
Why do I?
We had this project where we had to go to IKEA and get the same model chair, and then everybody had to like decorate it the way that they wanted to. And I actually like pasted cork on my chair, and then I had everybody, well, I made like, I had like a bucket and I had people put like secrets in there, like post secrets, and then I pinned the secrets on the chair.
You revealed all their secrets.
So people, you know what? This is very of character of me.
Yeah, like this is like Mean Girls.
No. They knew what it was.
Tell me your deepest, dark secret. I'll keep it forever. Boom, no, on the chair for everyone to see.
Like, you remember like that book, Post Secrets?
The book yeah. what?
Post Secrets.
No.
Well.
Oh, Stuart looks like he knows.
You've missed part of the internet. Like, it used to be like yeah. An old Live Journal blog, I think. Way back in the day, and people used to send in like these secrets and yeah. it'd always be like formatted so over an image and be like, oh, I cheated on my husband. And like,
yeah, exactly.
I get it. Okay.
It was www.postsecret.com.
Sounds like a still, Tumblr type of thing, but like,
I mean, very much so.
Got yeah. it. Okay.
So, but yeah, so I made a cork chair. I had it for a while, but not anymore.
Everyone's secrets on it.
With everybody's secrets on it. I don't know wow. where the chair went, but I don't know where the secrets went.
That's why the chair is so big. It's full of secrets.
It's full of secrets. Yeah, this is a really shitty project. I'm surprised I got a good grade on that one.
Unless it's like imaginative.
Sure. All right.
In comes Chantal. Who's Eric, who's French. Bonjour. And she is wearing a mini leather skirt with like this pink top and pink sweater over the top. She has this like red bag. And she's, you see Lala? You see how simple it is? Lala. And apparently Lala is fucking Jack's name. And Lala comes in. She has like these, she's going for like a punkier look because she has some like leather boots, almost knee high, with some black pantyhose, a black mini skirt, a cheetah print button down. And this really, really like Stuart, this wig is terrible. This is a flat ass wig. What is happening? Give it some fucking body.
No volume whatsoever. Ugh. And I mean, it kind of lends itself quite well to the kind of real basic 90s look that Jack is really going for there. Even with the like the little neck choker thing that you haven't seen in like decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack about those eyebrows.
Yeah. That's what I want to talk about. Terrible.
They're fucking horrifying.
Awful.
It is like the pencilest, thinnest fucking eyebrows I've ever seen in my life.
They were
I don't understand why Luther comes over here and is immediately attracted to Lala. He's just like, I must have you.
Is this like the meanest thing to say? It's really not like woman forward, but she's kind of a butterface.
I just think like of the two, I feel like Eric looks more like he has better drag, I think, than Jack does. I don't know.
Eric's like, head on Jack's body. And then we have one hot girl.
At least Eric's eyebrows look normal.
But we don't even see the eyebrows because she has bangs.
Stuart is like, oh, I'm not.
I think the difference is, though, is like Eric is this fully kind of realized character.
Yes.
It's believable. And Jack is just so not into
it. Jack is just putting on this like high pitched voice, which is awful. It's very terrible. Screechy. It's offensive as a woman to hear it. And wait. I love Luther coming over like, how you doing? And Eric and Jack just goes, how you doing? Like, yeah. His voice. She's like, this is my friend Lala. She's too shy. And fucking Feeny sees them.
This is the best read that I've ever heard of in my life.
The double because D's
Feeny
one?
Goes, yes. Feeny goes, oh, double D's? Just like your grades.
Feeny's a savage. I mean, like, he's pretty. You look like a bison. Yeah. Like, he's got no chill.
The library is open, bitch.
We're reading everybody today.
I would have loved for Feeny to take one more second and just do kind of like the head to toe look. You know what I mean? I feel like that would have been like capped it off. But yeah, he put on those fucking glasses and he read them for fucking filth. It was wonderful. And I love how much it upsets Eric. He's so upset. I don't know how much of this I can take.
He's very upset. He's so upset. He doesn't want to be called a bison. He wants to be a pretty girl.
Yeah. Excuse me. I must have been the bad crip.
Oh, because he burped in Luther's face.
Like proper turns and it just burps like right in front of it.
So gross.
Oh, it's I know it's not a good episode, but it's so stupid.
Maybe it is a good episode because it's stupid funny. It's Jessica, you're laughing so hard. I think you like it.
Eric, it's only Eric that kills me. It's Eric as Chantal that I literally could watch so many
because you love the French accent.
I do. And because it must have been si bad grape.
Jessica.
It's so funny. I just love how into the character Eric is. Like,
yeah, he loves it.
We know Wilfred L plays D&D, and I feel like this is just like is the beginning of it. You know what I mean? Like, you can see it.
This is perfect. Okay, because I wanted to talk to you both about this. So, Wilfred L was on this little show called Critical Role. I don't know if you've heard of it, Stuart. But it's like a D&D thing. Blah 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 blah. And I just got to the episode where Wilfred L is there.
Yes! I'm so happy you got there.
What do I need to know? Like, what do I need to know? Wilfred L's a guest star.
He's a legend.
I guess a little bit of episodes. And should I be excited? Yes. Will I like his character?
That's a maybe.
Yeah.
I think there's a real thing of like Cash is like has a real kind of like Marmite reaction with some people. Like people I think love him for turning up because it's Wilfred L, and so you get like kind of more of him and he gets
into it too. Yeah. So like that's great.
But like he throws back and is like he doesn't kind of come along and like wants to be friends with everyone. He comes in and he's not averse to being hostile openly to other characters. And yeah. I was like, loved it. But yeah.
He got really into D&D, and it's really fun to watch him like fall in love with the game. And I think watching him as Eric on Boy Meets World, you instantly could be like, that guy would love D&D because he loves the voices and the caricatures and like the over exaggerated. Everything is hyperbolic with him. And so, like, this is just reminds me of him in D&D, because you could see him playing this character in D&D, you know, very, very easily.
Yeah.
Now I want to steal that character.
You should.
Do it. Chantel, please.
Chantel is going to turn up in my next one shot.
Must have been the bat cape. So good.
Luther brings over a calla lily to Lala and asks if they have a boyfriend, and she says, "What?
Positively, like, not.
Positively not. Would you like a boyfriend? Positively not.
Yeah, I'll take you to places you've never been before." And it's like, he's like, "Oh, I'll bet you've never been there before either." It's like, and Corey marches in with, like, I mean, he has a coffee table, some, like, cups,
a birdhouse. A tissue box.
Oh, is that what that is?
I think so. There's... the coasters. I love Cork World. And Pin Universe or whatever it is sounds great.
Thumbtack City.
Thumbtack City.
I'm just aghast at the idea that Cork World doesn't have enough custom and is going out of business. Like, I'm really surprised by this.
What can we do to get Cork World to stay in business? Do we need to get a petition signed? Like, what can we do to save Cork World? I guess nothing.
Because nothing that can save it.
This is 20 years ago and nobody fucking wants Cork furniture.
It's, and like, Corey's just wandering around with these things. He doesn't even have a bag.
He doesn't have a bag. Well, he left a cup there. How dare he?
He left the cup. And I love Topanga as he's leaving, just being like, "You love him. Just remember you love him." She's done. Do not forget you love him. Eric as Chantal, at least he thinks you're attractive. And like, Topanga doesn't even notice it's him.
I don't understand how Topanga doesn't recognize him.
Her reaction when she sees him, though, is just the worst. Like, she literally dives back.
Yeah, and I just don't think that the way a person looks should make them the object of ridicule. Like, he's so upset. And then we have, like, poor Jack trying to deal with Luther, where he wants to go somewhere private. He's taking her to dinner, and Lala's like, "He thinks I'm attractive and he wants to take me out." Chantal says, "Oh, sure, rub it in. And who's going to take me out? The zookeeper."
Eric is having a crisis.
He just wants to be the pretty girl that gets taken out. I mean, I can understand.
I mean, the thing is I feel like this is a culmination of, like, Eric used to be the heartthrob, and then he met Jack, and now Jack is the heartthrob. And I feel like Eric was like, "This is my moment to shine. Chantal will be the beauty of the belle of the ball." And he's stuck as a bridesmaid yet again.
God, so method. Who would have thought?
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And then, of course, here comes Corey. "You have to see the apartment." And she's like, "I don't need to see it." He's like, "You do. You have to see it. I had an idea. It's my best idea yet." Oh, my God. He's like, "I have to go finish it up." And, like, I do think we've had a little bit of a turnaround on Corey since the back half of last episode. I love seeing Corey, like, back to his, like, happy-go-lucky. Like, he's always excited. And I love that.
Yeah. It's really fun to see him, like, rejuvenated, and it's so much better. This is so much better. And obviously he's actually very excited because what he's actually done now, he's proud of. He just wants Topanga to get back to the house as soon as possible and see. He runs off. Topanga is reading, and then everybody's favorite, what's her face?
Chantal.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking Bridget, which is the other girl. But yeah. Chantal comes around and is whining and crying about being an ugly ox.
A shy little ugly rich girl.
And she's like, "You're so lucky that you have Corky." Topanga says, "Our house is Corky and yellow."
And she's like, "I don't have the heart to tell him." And Chantal's like, "Oh, but you should. He would not want to do anything that would make you unhappy." And
this is her brother-in-law, and she doesn't recognize him. this is very much like Mrs. Doubtfire, like unbelievability, or even like Superman, like you put on the glasses, you can't tell it's him. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire, there was prosthesis, like there was a full-on mask.
There was.
Superman, I can't excuse that. That's just horrendous. But like this is an illusion, Sarah. Don't doubt that he has transformed. Like sitting before Topanga is not Eric. Chantel is there.
That's true, because the body language is different and the voice is different. Eric is embodying Chantel. And I'm sure if it's out of context, it's a little bit hard to pick up on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can just say maybe Topanga's a little preoccupied, right? Like with the
cork.
Yeah, with the cork. But Chantel does give decent advice. She's like, you should tell him. What would really excite him is to do something that would make you happy. You love each other. Everything's going to work out okay. She's like, oh, thank you for caring. And they shake hands. And Topanga just goes, ow.
Strong handshake.
Then she says that Chantel has a beautiful spirit. And then she goes, did you just say I was beautiful? And I love it. It's so cute. Like, I don't know. And Topanga's just like awkwardly smiling. Like, yeah, I did. And I meant it. You are beautiful. And he's like, I am. And she like she's like starting to cry. Topanga's like, maybe we could be friends. And she's like, oh, we would be such great friends. And she's like, I'm sorry, I can't. And she like smacks her. She's like, I have to go back to France or killed by Crazy Luther.
The stereo guy?
No, the one that eats fingers. Topanga is just so like, ooh.
Poor Topanga's dealing with so many issues.
Yeah.
Chantal's like, thank you so much for calling me beautiful. And she's like crying as she's hugging Topanga's head. It's so funny. And then she says goodbye. And she bends over to pick up.
My God, the exit is just incredible. Okay. Au revoir, Chantel. And then she's like, I don't know what that means, but goodbye.
She looks at her underwear and she bends over to Topanga and puts the hand up.
Daniel Fisher is desperately trying not to corpse as like the audience is howling at this. Like, absolutely, that's gotta have been improv.
So stupid. I love it. See, the thing is like the drag doesn't completely work for me because it works for me with Eric, but like the Jack stuff, I don't care. Like, it's not funny. It's more just like, I think it's the confidence thing, right? Where like Jack is not embodying this Lala character. Like, who even is Lala? You know,
we don't know.
No, we don't.
Is she French as well? Probably not.
No.
Apparently her backstory was that she was a trollop. That was the one that was bestowed upon her by Eric. I was just like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, we need Jack to come up with like a Lala backstory type of thing. So they come back from their date, Luther and Lala, and they're chatting. And I guess basically Luther is trying to get, I don't know, a kiss out of Lala. And he's like, don't embarrass me in front of my buddies. And she's like, oh, so your whole thing is like you don't want to be embarrassed in front of your buddies. So then Jack thinks of embarrassing him by taking a picture.
It really doesn't even take that much. She calls in Chantel, they're going to kiss, and she's like, "Oh, I love taking pictures." And so Chantel is just like, "Oh, take our picture." And so as this is happening, Luther closes his eyes, puckers his lips, and Jack takes off his wig and reveals it's Jack. Let's discuss
like,
your reputation.
Flexing as he does as well, like just to hyper-accentuate, I'm a man.
Yeah. And then there's Eric, who also takes off his wig. They threaten him. The you know what? The camera is going to, or we're going to use this photo. It's blackmail, baby. The ending of this could have been better. It was fine.
It really fizzled out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love Eric saying, I'm beautiful on the inside, and on the inside, you're a pig. It's just so good.
I mean, I kind of like the Eric taking the wig off and just doing a hello, just like that delivery.
Yeah, and like, the dance really he does at me. The end is very fun yeah. as well. He's doing like a little bit of a booty bump.
Eric puts the wig back on.
Yeah, he's feel again. Mm-hmm. He's feeling himself.
Yeah,
he loves being Chantal.
Loves it. Loves it. Yeah.
And... literally says, "I've never felt so alive in my life." Come on, come on. So Topanga is prepping herself. She's saying to herself outside of the apartment, "I want you to know I love you. No matter what you did to the apartment, it's fine with me." And as she enters the apartment, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. How did he afford all of this?
We don't need to know, but it's lovely. And I don't know how they reversed all the yellow because there is some natural wood in there.
They would have had to paint like 17 times.
And they put the installed lights in, puck lights in the nook. In the built-in bookcase.
They did.
I was very impressed by all of this. I'm not going to lie. And there is still some yellow. So
yeah, the couch is yellow. The drapes are yellow. The bookshelf is yellow.
There's like, yeah, exactly. So Corey can still be as happy as a fellow with his yellow home. And this is lovely. They really made something of this. And he says, you know, I've known you all my life. Like, I knew you weren't happy. I wish you just told me that you hated it. So nonetheless, I changed it.
I just, Stuart, how did he afford all of this?
Why do you have to question it?
Because this is, it's like, it should have been a buildup. Again, like, this is so unrealistic. You can't go from, like, super shitty apartment to completely furnished, decorated apartment. You know how many years it takes for people to finish putting shit on their walls? Come on.
I have in my notes for this, just all caps, thousands of dollars. Because, like, you're looking at, like, he's got it refurnished, redecorated, pointlessly decorated, and then redecorated over that, no less. Mm-hmm. Alongside just, like, I just don't know where all the money or time has come. But, I mean, that's TV for you.
Yeah. Once again, what do you want? Them to go to Home Goods, look through each and every aisle, you know, go to the flea markets, bargain.
I don't need like, any of that. I don't need any of that. I just think it could have been like bare bones renovation.
Each doesn't need episode to be they get furnished. One more piece of like one yeah, more
why
vase.
Not? Why not?
Whatever.
There were lights in the nook, Sarah.
Yeah, there were. I want to know how he got the electrician in there to
yeah.
put the lights in there.
Oh, he just did it himself. He, you know what? He opened the wall up, touched it once, boom, ding, done.
No tools. Bare hands.
Yeah.
That's his specialty. He's a handyman that only uses his hands. Yeah. He's literally the hand E-man.
E-man. How yeah. do you feel about the mural for the bed?
Hey. I know one person that's had it.
I'm sorry. You know somebody who had a mirror over their bed?
Oh, I have to spell out my fucking jokes for you. Maitlin Ward.
Oh. Well, Stuart didn't get the joke either.
But yeah.
Yeah, this is a choice. Topanga
this is it. Where I think Boy Meets World and like sort of Corey's excitement over their kind of post-marital kind of endeavors gets a bit weird for me because I'm just like, no, this is it's Corey and Topanga and like, no, they can't do that. They're like, no.
But then... why don't go back to playing Swamp Thing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, things.
Swamp Thing does things, yeah.
With a mirror over the bed so we can watch.
Corey's a fiend.
he really is.
Last scene is in the student union. We have Sean and Eric and Jack are all dressed normally. They're playing some pool. They're I don't even know. Jack is trying to talk like he's like from Brooklyn. He's all feeling like all masculine. This is how a man talks. This is how a man dresses. Me.
He's like, it. I'm a man, all right. And it's just like, are all men Robert De Niro? Like, what the hell? Why are you talking like that?
And like, he starts like intimidating people. He's like, you want a piece of me? Get out of my eyesight. And in comes Eric. And he's dressed as Chantal. Hello.
I love it.
I love this too. He's really feeling himself. I like this outfit, actually. It's like a nice maroon dress. He has, although, I don't know, Sarah, he kind of looks mm-hmm. like a mother of the bride a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. All the clothes are a little matronly. I agree with you.
He dresses old. Like they say how yeah. some people who dress drag, they like it ages them. I think it ages Eric a little bit.
I think so too.
Yeah. He says, I've just discovered how beautiful I was, so I've decided to stay like this forever. And then he sees a girl and he goes, he's like, oh, I'm going to get in touch with her feminine side. Excuse me. Hello.
Come on. Everyone experiments in college.
Yeah. I did love Eric. Again, this episode didn't do a ton for me. I just think like I love Eric dressing in drag. I think that is like a highlight for me. Yeah. It's very fun.
I think in the writer's room, they certainly would like sat around and they were like, okay, Eric does drag. And then that's been the idea. And then they came to write it and went, oh God, we've actually got to write an episode around this now. And then they just pulled this thing together. I think what I kind of took from it though, is the fact that like Eric, in the entire time that we've seen like sort of all these characters in drag over the seasons, Eric has 6 different outfits that he can pull to. Apparently, because we saw 3 in today's episode.
Yeah,
he's done drag twice in 2 episodes before, once with 2 dresses. So, like, I mean, Eric's got a wardrobe,
tons of outfits, a whole closet of this. It's very impressive. Yeah, he likes to get in touch with his feminine side.
Yeah,
good for Eric.
I like to see it. Yeah. And I do like the renovation. I do love like Corey trolling Topanga. Yeah. I think that's very fun. So overall, I do really enjoy these episodes. I think this past like the Honeymoon is Over, Picket Fences, and What a Drag have all been like really fun and a nice little mini arc for the show.
I agree.
A highlight, truly, I think, because we really struggled a little bit with season 6. So I think like we kind of thought like the final season is going to be like a little bit of a shit show. But I really liked these last
couple. We're on the up and up.
We are.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Next week, we only have 1 episode, right? We're just doing Family Ties.
Trees.
Oh, okay. Family Tree.
Family Ties is another show.
Next week, we're actually going to just forget about Women's World.
Yeah. So yeah, Family Trees with my husband. Will, he's going to come back on. Perfect. Chat with us.
Be amazing. Fun time. Stuart, we had like the most amount of fun with you.
Everyone else jealous. Everyone else sucks.
Oh no, I didn't mean like that. Goodness gracious.
You heard it here first, guys. The most amount of
Chappelle, Tommy, eat your hearts out.
No, I did not mean it like that. Now, Stuart, tell us what you're up to.
Not a great deal. Like I'm not really kind of like podcasting or doing anything much at the moment. I think for the most part, I'm just hanging out on the post-show recap Discord.
Yes.
Where you probably find me in there shouting out Drag Race or D&D for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, you have been we've had a lot of fun over at the PSR Discord recently. So, and can we find you on social media anywhere or do you not want to be found?
I'm on Twitter, DM Stuart with 3 O's because I'm nice and awkward like that. Occasionally spouting off again about Drag Race or D&D on there. But yeah, that's probably the best way to come find me and what I'm up to.
Amazing. You all know what we're up to. Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek. We are coming out with I Know What You Did Last Summer soon for some October bonus content, as well as we came out with Halloween Town High. You can find us at Shit90Spot on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can see what we're up to. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. Jess, what about you? What are you up to?
I'm covering Reboot over on Post Show Recaps. That's finishing up. We only have 1 more episode left. Other than that, I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus from community building for the next couple of weeks. We'll be back mid-November. But Sarah and I are actually going to be talking a little bit more 90s content elsewhere. We're going to be joining Mari and Sarah to talk about the Barney documentary, I Love You, You Hate Me. I'm really excited. I watched part 1 earlier and it's absolutely ridiculous. Good times talking about Barney. I used to be obsessed with Barney as a young kid. So I'm really, really excited. We will plug that, of course, on all our
very
social media when it happens.
Pro Barney back in the day as well, which is, you know, I don't really like dinosaurs famously. But
yeah, it's very upsetting. You don't like dinosaurs.
I really liked Barney back in the day.
Yeah, so we'll be on that. We'll plug it and everything. You can find me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter. And I think that's it. I'm gonna be a little bit. I don't have as much going on lately this next like month or so.
Yeah, just pay more attention to me.
That's my job. Truly, it's a full time job in and of itself.
Great.
This has been wonderful, Stuart. Thank you so much for coming on. Honestly, I feel like these 2 episodes were perfect for you, Stuart. They really did fit the bill. I think this is perfect.
Yeah, they jumped out, and I was like, yeah, I have to at least talk about the drag one at the very least.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with season 7, episode 12, Family Trees. Talk to you all then. Have a good one. Just bye.
Shit 90 Shows taught me.